The third letter arrived on a Tuesday, wrapped in brown paper that smelled of the sea and something sharper, like ozone before a storm. Concetta held it in her hands at the sorting table, feeling the weight of it. It was heavier than the others, thicker. She did not open it immediately. She placed it beside the brass letter opener, the one with the chipped handle, and waited for the bell to toll the hour. Only when the church bells had faded into the humid air did she cut the string. Inside was not a letter, but a bundle of pages, tied together with twine. And beneath the bundle, a small slip of paper in Andrea's handwriting, for Concetta. Do not let Luca see this until he is ready. Luca. Concetta's stomach tightened. She had not spoken to the boy properly since the funeral. He had stood at the back of the church, his shoulders hunched, his eyes fixed on the coffin as though he were calculating the distance to the exit. He was Andrea's son, but he had his mother's sharp angles and her restless hands. He spent his days on the quay, smoking cigarettes that tasted of tar and rebellion, talking to men who were not fishermen, men who talked of America, of England, of anywhere but this village that smelled of rotting kelp and regret. She looked at the slip of paper. Keep this hidden until Luca is prepared. But he was not ready. None of them were. Concetta folded the slip back into the envelope and put it in her apron pocket. She finished her shift in a daze, sorting letters with mechanical precision, her mind racing ahead. She could not read the bundle here. Not in La Posta, with the dust motes dancing in the light and the smell of stale tobacco clinging to her skin. She needed to take it home. She needed to. Signora Rixa. She jumped. The driver was standing in the doorway, his cap in his hands, looking uncomfortable. He was a young man, new to the route, with a face that hadn't yet learned how to ignore women who cried in public. Is there a problem? Concetta asked, her voice steady despite the hammering of her heart. No, Signora, just the post, it's all here. He gestured to the sack on his shoulder. But is everything all right? You look pale. I am fine, she said. Thank you. He hesitated, then nodded and left. Concetta locked the door behind him and went upstairs to Casa Marino. The house was quiet. Nana Rosa was napping in the front room, her breathing rasping like dry leaves. Enzo was out on La Speranza, hauling nets. The silence was a living thing, pressing against her ears. She took the bundle from her pocket and sat at the kitchen table, the cool tiles beneath her bare feet grounding her. She untied the twine. The pages fell out one by one. They were not written in Italian. They were written in a code. Concetta stared at the first page. The words were Italian, but the syntax was wrong. The grammar was twisted, as though someone had taken a sentence and pulled it apart like a bird's wing, rearranging the bones. Il mare e grav blu, it read. Ma il cielo e grav verde, the sea is blue, but the sky is green. She frowned, she turned the page. La donna porta il rosso, the woman wears red. Il figlio part domani, the sun leaves tomorrow. It was a nursery rhyme, or a game, something simple, designed to be misinterpreted by the casual reader. But why? Why would Andrea write to her in a code? Concetta ran her finger down the lines. Her hands were shaking. She pressed them flat against the table and waited for the trembling to stop. It did not stop. She needed help. She could not decipher this alone. And there was only one person in the village who might understand. Luca was sitting on the steps of the bar, smoking a cigarette that glowed orange in the twilight. He was watching the harbor, his eyes narrowed against the sea breeze. When he saw Concetta approaching, he didn't smile. He just took the cigarette from his mouth and exhaled a plume of smoke into the air. Signora Rixai, he said, come to scold me again. No, she said, I need your help. He raised an eyebrow. My help with what? Counting your savings, organizing your grief. Decoding a letter. Luca laughed. It was a harsh, barking sound. You think I'm a spy? Is that it? You think I've been learning codes while you were off pretending your husband is dead? I think, Concetta said, her voice low and precise, that your father was a man who knew how to hide things, and I think you know how to find them. Luca's expression shifted. The cynicism didn't leave, but it hardened, like ice forming over water. He stubbed out the cigarette on the step and stood up. He was tall for his age, all elbows and knees, but there was a strength in him now, a tension that hadn't been there a year ago. What kind of letter? He asked. Concetta pulled the bundle from her apron. She didn't hand it to him immediately. She held it out, palm up, like an offering. Luca looked at the pages. He didn't touch them. He just stared. "My father's handwriting," he said. "Yes. And you think I can read it? I think you know him better than I do." Luca took the pages. He flipped through them slowly, his eyes scanning the twisted syntax. Concetta watched his face. She saw the confusion, then the recognition, then something like pain. "It's a cipher," he said finally. "A simple substitution, but the key is in the first line." "The first line." Luca looked up at her. His eyes were brown, just like Andrea's, but sharper, more dangerous. "My mother's birthday. It was her birthday when he wrote this. He always used her birthday as the key." Concetta felt the air leave her lungs. Andrea's first wife, the woman he had loved before her. The woman who had died in childbirth, along with the baby who never made it. "Can you decode it?" she asked. Luca looked at the pages again. He traced the lines with his finger. "I can try, but why now?" "Your husband threw the last letter into the sea, didn't he?" Concetta didn't answer. She couldn't. "Fine," Luca said. "Bring them to my house, tonight, but don't tell your husband, and don't tell the priest. If they find out," he trailed off. He didn't need to finish the sentence. Concetta nodded. "Tonight." "Good," Luca said. He turned and walked away, the pages clutched in his hand. Concetta watched him go, her heart pounding in her chest. She had made a mistake. She knew it, but she couldn't stop now. The truth was out there, hidden in the twisted words of a dead man, and she had to find it. Luca's house was small, a single-room shack at the edge of the fishing district. It smelled of salt and oil paint and something metallic, like blood. Concetta knocked on the door. There was no answer. She pushed it open. The room was dark. Luca was sitting at a table covered in maps and papers. He was lighting a kerosene lamp, the flame flickering as he struck the match. "Sit," he said, nodding to a chair. Concetta sat. She watched him work. He was efficient, moving the papers around, aligning them, cross-referencing. He wasn't just reading the letter, he was solving a puzzle. "How long have you known about this?" she asked. Luca didn't look up. "Known about what?" "The cipher, your father's habit." "I didn't know it was a cipher," Luca said. "I just knew he wrote things differently. Things he didn't want people to understand. I thought he was going mad."
"Was he?"
Luca paused. He looked at her, his eyes dark in the lamplight. "I don't know, maybe, or maybe he was just smart, smarter than any of us." Concetta felt a chill run down her spine. She had always thought of Andrea as a gentle man, a quiet man. But here was Luca, seeing him differently, seeing him as something else, something dangerous. "Are you almost done?" she asked. "Almost," Luca said. He was leaning over the paper now, his face inches from the words. "Wait. This is important."
"What is it?"
Luca didn't answer. He just kept reading, his lips moving silently. Concetta waited. The minutes passed. The lamp burned low, and then Luca sat back, his face pale.
"Well," she said.
"He's alive," Luca said. Concetta stared at him. "What?" "He's alive, or he was, until 1950. The letter says he's in Palermo, but he's not just there. He's running something big."
"Running what?"
Luca looked at her. His eyes were wide, terrified. "A network, a smuggling ring. My father wasn't just a fisherman, Signora, he was a smuggler. And he wasn't alone. There were others, men from the village, men you know." Concetta felt the room spin. She gripped the edge of the table.
"Who?"
Luca's fingers trembled against the paper. He read again, slower this time, his lips barely moving. Then he pushed the pages away as though they burned. "He's alive," he said. The words came out rough, unfamiliar. "Or he was. 1950. He swallowed hard.
"Palermo."
Concetta leaned forward. "What does it say about Palermo?" Concetta felt the room tilt. "What kind of goods?" Luca's eyes darted to the door, then back to her. He shook his head once, sharp. "I shouldn't be telling you this." He tapped the decoded page with one finger. "But you need to know, he wasn't alone. There were others, from the village." Luca looked away, and Enzo. Concetta's breath caught in her throat. "Enzo." "Your husband," Luca said. "He was involved, before Andrea disappeared. They were partners, until Andrea decided to go solo, until he decided to leave Enzo behind." Concetta couldn't speak.
She sat there, the words hitting her like waves, and Zoe, involved in smuggling, partners with Andrea. And then Andrea left, and then Andrea died or didn't die. Why? She whispered. I don't know, Luca said, but I think your husband killed him. Concetta stood up, her legs were shaking. She couldn't stand still. She had to move. She had to get out of the room. No, she said, no, that's not true. Signora Rixi, Luca said, standing up too. Listen to me, you need to be careful, if they know you're asking questions. I know what I need to do, she said. She turned and walked out of the room. She didn't look back, she couldn't. The night air was cold against her skin. The stars were bright overhead, cold and distant. Concetta walked home, her mind racing, and Zoe, smuggling, murder. She reached Casa Marino and went inside. The house was dark. Enzo was not there. She went to the kitchen and sat at the table. She put her head in her hands and tried to breathe. But she couldn't. The air was too thick. The truth was too heavy. And she was drowning. The next morning, Concetta went to La Posta. The door remained shut. She stood outside, watching the street. Enzo's boat pulled into the harbor. Men hauled the nets. Padre Salvador walked towards the church. And she saw Luca, standing on the quay, watching her. He didn't wave, he didn't smile, he just watched. And Concetta knew, with a certainty that chilled her to the bone, that he was waiting, waiting for her to make the next move. She turned and walked away. She couldn't face him, not yet. She went home, she locked the door, and she waited. The day passed, the sun went down, the moon rose, and Concetta sat in the dark, thinking about Andrea, thinking about Enzo, thinking about the cipher. And she wondered, not for the first time, if the truth was worth the cost. But she knew the answer. It was, it always was. Because silence was worse, silence was death. And Concetta Rixi was not ready to die. Not yet. That night she dreamed of Andrea. He was standing on the quay, looking out at the sea. He was alive. He was smiling, but he was far away, too far away to reach. She woke up crying. The tears were hot on her face. She didn't wipe them away. She just lay there, listening to the sound of the waves crashing against the cliffs. And she knew what she had to do. She had to go to Palermo. She had to see him. She had to know. But she also knew that she couldn't go alone. She needed Luca. She needed his help. She needed his courage. So she waited. She waited for the morning. She waited for the light. And she waited for Luca to come to her. Because he would, he had to. He was Andrea's son, and he had his father's secrets. And Concetta was going to take them all. Every single one.